In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear viewers, brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm Mahdi Rastani, your host in the series of shows Open Talk, and coming to you live from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran. I have here with me Brother Abbas Munfarid that will help us with carrying out the discussion today.
All praises to Allah, the Lord of all creations. Peace and blessing be upon the messenger, his household, and companions. It's a great pleasure to welcome you to this program, Open Talk on Sahar Universal Network. It's a great honor for me and my brother, Mahdi, to host you in this program. This program is just yours. Don't go anywhere and stay with us. Today, we're going to talk about an important topic which Islam has given special attention to that topic in Islam. My brother Mahdi will tell you more about this topic.
Yes, thank you very much. Today, inshallah, we will have a guest assisting us with the guidelines that Islam has given us in regards to the topic of speech etiquettes. Inshallah, we'll be asking questions from the guest and she will be providing us with answers in this regard. Also, we will have guests joining us from London that we will be asking questions from. We'll take a break, and inshallah, when we get back, we'll continue with the discussion. Please stay with us.
The Most Gracious Allah has taught the Holy Quran. He has created man. He has taught him speech. The Holy Quran, chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 1 to 4. The tongue and a language are great gifts of Allah. These gifts that Allah has given him makes him superior to all other creatures. Islam has given special attention to speech, its style, its etiquette, and rules. Islam has given special attention to speech, its style, its etiquette, and rules, because the talks that comes out of a man's mouth discloses his intellectual level and moral nature, because the etiquette of the speech in a group reveals its general standard and shows the standard of decency in their environment. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "No servants of Allah, peace be upon him, relief, will be correct until its heart is corrected, and his heart will never be corrected until his tongue is." The first phase of achieving this correctness is for a person to give up that which doesn't concern them and not to involve themselves in things that they were not asked about. Islam has dispraised frivolities and idle talk, as they are immaterial and evil. In fact, the more a person stays away from them, the higher their ranks becomes with Allah's peace be upon him. Conversely, the more a person indulges in them, the more their punishment will be with Allah's peace be upon him. In most of their secret talks, there is no good, but if one exhorts to a deed of charity or justice or conciliation between men, secrecy is permissible. To him who does this, seeking the good pleasure of Allah, we shall soon give a reward of the highest value. The Holy Quran, chapter An-Nisa, verse 114. It is suggested that a Muslim should avoid irrelevant and nonsensical things and try to keep his tongue in control. He should be able to hold reins of his tongue in his hand. Wherever necessary, he should speak, and wherever it is not necessary, he should keep quiet. Successful indeed are the believers who are humble in their prayers and who shun vain conversation and who are prayers of zakat. The Holy Quran, chapter Al-Mu'minin, verses 1 to 4. Islam also dislikes such gathering, where people sit and waste their time, and where people always lap up news and defects of others. They have wealth in excess, under whose shadow they try to have good time. They have no other work beside this, that they seek pleasure in the affairs of the other people. Woe to every kind of scandal monger and backbiter who piles up wealth and lays it by, thinking that his wealth would make him last forever. By no means I, he will be sure to be thrown into that which breaks to pieces. The Holy Quran, chapter Humazah, verses 1 to 4. Arrogance, talking, and self-admiration are also two of the characteristics of Iblis. So whoever wants to be arrogant while talking should realize that he is acquiring the characteristic of the devils. Everyone who tries to be arrogant and put himself above others, Allah will bring him down among the lowest of the low and will humiliate him, because he is going against reality. So Allah will punish him by thwarting his aims. The punishment is to fit the Quran. The one who is arrogant towards the people will be trampled beneath the feet of the people on a day of resurrection as a punishment for his arrogance, as it says in a following hadith. It was narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "No one who has an atom's weight of arrogance in his heart will enter paradise." A man said, "O Messenger of Allah, what if a man likes his clothes and his shoes to look good?" He said, "Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Arrogance means rejecting the truth and looking down on people."
Welcome back to the program Open Talk. Dear viewers, today inshallah we will have with us a dear guest from Germany, Sister Fatima Trudy Sayyid. She will inshallah be helping us with our discussion that is related to the etiquettes of speech, inshallah. Sister Fatima, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much. Before we start with the discussion, which is a very important discussion from the Islamic point of view, we're going to go to Brother Abbas. He's going to let you know how you can contact us in case there are any suggestions, comments, or opinions that you would like us to know.
Thank you, Brother Mahdi. First, I should thank you, dear viewers, for making appreciative comments about this program. Of course, your comments can contribute to having better programs in the future. There are different ways that you can contact us. You can go on the internet. Our webpage, Facebook webpage, is Open Talk Sahar TV. You can go there. You can post your comments. If you have any questions, you can ask, and our experts are here to provide you with answers. You can also get in touch with us via phone. Our phone lines are subtitled during the program. You can call us, and you can join us in this program. This program is yours, my brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much. So, Sister Fatima, for the first question, inshallah, just to start out with the discussion, if you could please expand a little bit on the importance that Islam has given to the topic of speech etiquette, and or in other words, the etiquettes of speech, and the manners that we have to carry out in this regard.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Well, the attraction of Islam is that it is perfect. Now, to represent something which is perfect, we have to use our whole humanity in order to come up to this level. When it comes to speaking, well, the ornament of a wise person is as much as in his behavior as it is in his speech. So what we say is important, how we present it and how we ourselves are presented is very important. Then again, it is important who you're speaking to.
Yes.
The time is important, the place is important, and the person is important. And also give the person you're speaking to the importance.
Yes.
Because the person is taking her time,
yes,
to listen to you. So in order to keep her attracted to what I'm saying, it has to make sense. And it has to be logic.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to pass on a logic religion is using the logic of the Quran.
Okay.
Imam Ali alayhi salam said that you cannot walk the path,
yes,
unless you are the path yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell somebody the way and I don't know
and
the
not
way
practice
myself.
It myself.
And
yes,
you only know the way if,
yes,
you're walking it.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're just talking something and the vibration is recognizable to,
yes,
the other person. He said, she's talking, she's not doing it herself. It is important that we know. And then what is important here, I feel that, because faith has three levels.
Okay.
One is physical.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is intellectual, your mind, you have accepted in your mind what you're saying,
mm-hmm,
but faith is not manifested until your heart has accepted it.
Yes.
And then it becomes manifested, and also your behavior will be in a manifestation of
that religion.
Because our manners are representing the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to act accordingly.
Thank you very much. So if I'm not mistaken, I guess the most important thing for us is to actually be the path rather than trying to, you know, get others to understand this path that we are talking of. So if you could please expand a little bit, I mean, we'll move on to this discussion in just a second, the etiquettes of manner, or, you know, certain, you know, about the time that you mentioned, who you're talking to, at what time are you speaking to them, all these different things. But before that, we'll go to Brother Abbas, if he can let us know about some of the comments that have been made in regards to the program, and we'll take it on from there.
Thank you, Brother Mahdi. I was browsing websites, and here I have something on a website, Islamic Thinkers Society website. Here I have manners of talking to others in Islam. I can briefly talk about some of the manners in Islam, Brother Mahdi. Some of the manners that are really emphasized in Islam are, the first one is, the goal of your talk should be good and beneficial. The second one is that you should be truthful in your talk when you talk to other people. The third one is refrain from disobedience in your talk, whether you are serious or kidding, because Allah hates the disobedient, the cursor. Next one is refrain from backbiting behind other people. It is mentioning that a Muslim should never talk behind other people and refrain from backbiting. Again, we have something about refraining from swearing unless it is necessary. Also, we have something about talk only with your knowledge and expertise, and do not talk about what you don't know. Yes. You have no knowledge about it. We also have something about do not talk to people about everything you hear without investigation. Yes. First, you should be sure when you hear something and then talk about it.
Okay.
We also have something about make sure that the goal from your talk and conversation with others is to reach the truth and reveal the falsehood. We also have something about refrain from being involved in unless arguments which sole purpose is to put down and prevail other people. Brother Matthew, I will tell you more about other websites.
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Abbas. These are all of these have wonderful traditions and ahadith in our religion. Each one of these guidelines, I guess, has its own traditions, has its own, you know, we have imams pointing these out. I guess each one of them has its own story behind it, because I guess the imams, more than trying to tell people what they should be doing, like you said, they were the path themselves. So Sister Fatima, if you could please you know, point out some of the manners and the etiquettes that one would have to carry out while speaking to another person. If you could, you know, in a general manner, address that issue. And then we'll get down to what if this person is from another religion? What if, for example, he is, you know, he's a Jew, a Christian? We'll leave that for another question. But for now, generally speaking, the manners of speech, if you could expand on that a little bit, please.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yeah, that is, as you said, that's important. To your speech should reflect on yourself.
Yes.
And it should be aware of who you're speaking to. As you say, a person who is not a Muslim, I will speak to as a less critic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because if I speak to a Muslim, I know exactly in his behavior and his way he dresses, the way he walks, the way he speaks, the way he looks at you, mm-hmm. how he has progressed.
Yes.
Because when we are born, we are animals. So we are, in fact, we are spiritual being trying to be human being on earth.
Yes.
So you're talking to a human being, but the actual, we cannot reach the highest level.
Yes.
Without the guidance of Quran, mm-hmm. which is when we are born, we have everything we need.
Okay.
So But even though we are, the computer has come to this world with a manual. Our manual is the Quran. Mm-hmm. When you buy a computer, you need a manual how to behave, how to do. And the Quran is so perfect that if it was not perfect, then our prophet would have had to have a successor.
Yes.
There should have been another prophet in order to perfect the religion. But Islam means perfection, and it is the submission to that.
Yes.
So, for example, if I'm talking to a person who's not a Muslim,
yes.
Now he is very critic of you, mm-hmm. like I would be critic of a Muslim. He's mm-hmm. critic of me,
yeah.
because he wants to know this person. She looks different, you know.
We are supposed to,
in the Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, distinguish yourself from the disbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
So not only from the outside, also our inside should be different.
Yes.
And Imam Ali alayhi salam, he's saying that generosity is of three kinds.
Yes.
One is good manners, and the second one is to control your temper.
Mm-hmm.
And controlling our temper also means when the other person is trying to say something, you keep quiet and wait,
yes.
and don't interrupt the person, because our Prophet said that to interrupt the person, you are scratching his face or her mm-hmm. face. And the third one is to not look at things which are not for our sight, which
mm-hmm.
should not be looking at. So a disbeliever will know whether you're a generous person or, and these three things reflect in our generosity
mm-hmm.
as well. Our manners, it doesn't mean I have to give the person money.
Yes.
No, our behavior as well is generosity, to, you know, to be patient and to love, because we learned all these qualities,
yes.
are displayed in Karbala,
mm-hmm.
really, by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He is our model for what? For freedom, for patience, and also dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So we should dialogue with people in
yes.
order to make them understand that something they have no knowledge of.
Yes,
you know,
there's something out there that they are actually looking for, but in certain situations you found what they're looking for.
Yeah.
For them to understand that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that is what kind of softens our heart when
yes.
we speak to someone. We feel sorry,
mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't know, and you know, how is he going to reach salvation?
Yes.
And we want to make everyone a Muslim because we know that is the path to walk
mm-hmm.
towards the hereafter. But we cannot, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the custodian
yes.
of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
So if he is going to be a believer, he will be interested in you, what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, a person comes to my house and I give him some food to take home.
Yes.
If he likes the food, he'll eat it. If
mm-hmm.
he doesn't, he rejects
he
it. You see, so we cannot guide people who are not guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our guidance lies as much in guiding the person to be a better person.
We can,
mm-hmm. because in Islam, in Ayatul Kursi, it says there is no force in Islam,
yes.
because the truth and the right way has been made very clear mm-hmm. to you. And the intellect can only accept logic and sense. So if you're talking sense, the other person will become interested. And I have seen that.
Yes.
I have experienced that. And I have stories which are actually unbelievable,
yes.
how people react to something they haven't heard before.
Yes.
And that is how I reacted when I became a Muslim. When
yes.
I became Muslim, in fact, I never heard of Muhammad.
Yes.
I didn't know Islam, because in Germany, this enmity towards Islam started
yes.
with Martin Luther.
Okay.
When he separated himself from the Roman Catholic Church,
yes.
you know, which was based on the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm.
really. I mean, it was a good thing, but he made Islam, Islam is the religion of shaitan. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have to do anymore. He could not challenge Islam, so he made it look bad to the people and forbid it to the people. So this, in the Middle Age, actually, this enmity for Islam started, and of course it was not so much obvious than when America put their foot into this, into the Quran, actually.
Very nice. In regards to the issue that you mentioned, some of these stories or these personal experiences that you've had, because I'm sure that it's very interesting for some of us to hear these personal experiences. If you could mention one or two of these, of how, for example, talking to another person and conversating with them with the certain, the specific manners that have been pointed out in Islam have changed his view or her view in regards to Islam. If you could expand on that, please.
Yeah. Okay. To come to think of one story, it happened in Spain. We had an apartment at that time on the sea because we lived in Kuwait. It was very hot, so we used to spend the summer in Spain. And the house agent, the one who took care of all the apartments, he lived on my way to the shop, and I had some queries about the apartment, so I went to see him. And I mentioned three, actually sentenced, two of them were hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, from Najul Balagha. So he said, where did you get this knowledge from? I said, well, it's not for myself, but this is from our first Imam, who succeeded the Prophet in continuing the message and explaining the message of the Quran to us. So he said, this is so unusual. Can you write it down for me? So I wrote down what I said. Next day, this person, this man, he sent me a big bouquet of roses. And there were 21 roses. My son, he was 9 years old that time, he was outside in the swimming pool. He saw the roses coming to my apartment. So he waited for my two daughters to come home. He said to them, you know, Mama is getting divorced. And so they came home, what happened? You're getting divorced? You're getting divorced? I said, what, why? He said, where are these roses from? I said, you know, the agent must have sent them. I don't know anyone here. So I went to see him on my way next day. I said, why did you send me roses? He said, what you said to me had so much influence on me. I kept my wife awake all night and we were discussing it. And now I'm going to study Islam. You see, just saying a few sentences, which are so eloquent from Najul Balagha, that people cannot resist it, you know. And if they only knew a little bit of Islam, they would just, they would just love to have Islam in their house because Islam is happiness.
Thank you very much. That was a wonderful story. thank you very much for that. Before we continue, because now we want to get down to the manners of talking to the opposite gender. Because, as you know, it's a topic and it's an issue that Muslims all around the world deal with on a daily basis, probably. So, but before we get to that, we're going to go to Brother Abbas. And if he has a question, he'll let us know about that.
Thank you, dear guest, for your nice story. Brother Mahdi and dear guest, I had a professor at university who always told me you should be careful when you talk to other people, because the words that come out of your mouth can show your personality, both intellectually and morally. Here, one of our dear viewers has asked this question: how can we keep our tongue in control? Is it possible to keep it in control?
Sister Fatima, it's a tough
one, keep your tongue in control. There is a saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's saying, might be from our Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that to make use of your piety, you have to control your tongue. You might be pious in many ways, but the tongue is is an issue which is very difficult to control.
Yes.
But this shows the reflection of your mind is in your tongue.
Okay.
You can speak, mm-hmm. but it's like we have a saying, it says that the tongue has no bones, mm-hmm. but it breaks bones.
Yes.
Because the tongue is the thing which takes most of people to hell, according
yes.
to our prophet.
Yes.
Because first of all, when we speak about people, we are exposing things about people
yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept secret. So who are we to expose them? So yeah, as you said, the tongue, but if we can control our mind, mm-hmm. we can control our tongue.
Okay.
And that is when a person says something about a person,
yes.
and we don't like that person, or mm-hmm. we have many things we could say against that person, we should start another conversation, because it is very tempting when somebody says something about a person you yourself don't like either,
yes.
that you repeat something you know about that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it is better to count to 3 or to 10 even and be silent on
okay.
that person. Because really, to commit sin and mm-hmm. you're not gaining anything. Okay, if a person drinks wine, he is enjoying it.
Yes.
But gossip, you're saying, doing something bad,
yes.
which is not to your benefit or to benefit on the
of
day
the
of
others.
Judgment. Yeah. Because we have to answer for whatever we say that is written down by our angels.
Thank you very much.
So. Thank you very much. Wonderful answer. We will go to London now. My brother Abbas will be in touch with Dr. Isa Jahangir with his questions.
Thank you very much. Now we have a guest from London via phone, Dr. Isa Jahangir. Dr. Jahangir, thank you very much for joining us in this program. Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes, I hear you.
Thank you very much for joining us in this program. Today's topic is a speech etiquette in Islam.
Yeah,
first,
thank you very much. It's my honor to be with you in this program.
Thank you very much. First, let me ask you this question. What are some talking rules that Muslims must abide by when talking to other people?
Let me first, before everything else, start my speech by expressing my congratulations on the occasion of the year, New Year 2013 for all people around the world, especially for Christian brothers who are celebrating the anniversary birthday of Jesus Christ nowadays. And I would like to start my speech by a tradition which is narrated from Imam Sadr alayhi salatu wasalam. It's about the manners of talk from the viewpoint of the Jesus Christ. He says in Usul al-Kafi, كان المسيح عليه السلام يقول لا تكثر الكلام في غير ذكر الله فإن الذين يكثرون الكلام في غير ذكر الله قاسية قلوبهم ولكن لا يعلمون. Imam Sadiq says Jesus Christ used to say, do not speak so much except for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely those who talk a lot, those who do not observe and do not control their tongue, those who are talkative people, they are hard-hearted, and they lose the insight of their hearts, but they don't know. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Let me say that from Islamic perspective, especially from the Islamic spirituality point of view, we do have two terms for observing silence, we can say, for controlling the tongue.
Yes.
You nicely mentioned very briefly the Islamic attitude towards talking and the manners of talking at the beginning of your speech, Abbas, dear brother Abbas. In Islamic teachings, we do have two terms which is opposed to speaking and speech. That's samt and sukut. These two terms are frequently mentioned in Islamic texts, I mean Islamic traditions, from Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalatu wassalam. And they are both translated as silence in English, but they're slightly different, and they have a very precise differences between them. For samt, which is considered as a virtue in Islamic spirituality, We don't have a good equivalent in English, but for sukut, sukut, that to say, we say in Farsi, we have silence. But for samt, also it's pronounced somt. We don't have an equivalent in English. But as I told you, both are translated in silence in English. The one which has of high importance, which is of high importance in Islamic spirituality, is not silence, it's samt. Samt is not any kind of keeping silence and observing silence, is not any sort of not talking or less talking, but a special sort of silence which has which is I can say less talking, which is thinking before talking, which is thoughtful talking, which is wiseful talking. This is what I mean by samt in Islamic spirituality. So according to many, many traditions that we have from Ahlul Bayt and we have from the Holy Prophet, we see that samt, or this is special and sort of silence, is kind of hikmah, is kind of wisdom. Like, for example, the Prophet has quoted as saying, As-samtu hukmun wa qalidun fa'ilu. This is special silence, and this is special sort of sukut, which is samt, is hukmun or hikmatun. Different in elsewhere we have hikmatun. It's a kind of wisdom inside, internal is inside that human being could have in his soul. وَقَلِيلٌ فَعَلُهُ. And its stores are not so much, and very, very few people are observing this sort of silence.
Dr. Jahangir, thank you very much for joining us in this program. Because we are running out of time, we don't have enough time. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear viewers. So we will have a short break. Inshallah, we'll come back with the rest of the program and Sister Fatima Trudy. Please stay with us.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. The world and places like YouTube are filled with people that love to talk, but are they actually saying anything? So many people engage in senseless conversations filled with absurd statements and trashy comments. And when it comes out to pointing out things they dislike because of their fear and misunderstanding, they waste no time revealing their hatred through their lewd, ill-mannered comments. Speech discloses so much about an individual, and when they speak, it reveals their intellect and their moral nature. As Muslims, we have to remember that the ability to speak is an amazing blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have given speech special attention and defined rules and etiquette that we must follow when we have conversations with those around us.
Of one of these sins that this flesh commits, and that was taking mick and making fun out of the people. And I made a mention that this is a sin that we all commit to some extent. Our elders commit this sin, and even our youngsters at the age of 8 and 9 commit this sin. Majority of the sins are committed by this piece of flesh. And moving on to a sin that nearly everybody commits. Everybody commits, illa man asima rabbuk. The young, the old, the small, the big, the learned, the non-learned, the male, the female. Everyone to some extent or another, illa man asima rabbuk, except those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved. Everyone to some extent commit this sin, and yet again it is the sin of this tongue.
The next one is ghibah, backbiting. As an ummah, we have to stop doing this. We have to stop backbiting. Each individual has to make a commitment. And when you hear people backbiting, you have to tell them, I don't want to hear this. I can't hear this. The prophetic definition is, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا لَوْ سَمِعَهُ لَكَرِهَا. It is to mention your brother, had he heard you saying it, he would dislike it. That is the prophetic definition. This is it. You know, this is what this deen's about. It's not a game, because Yawm al-Qiyamah, suddenly we're all going to say, Ya waylana, Ya hasrata.
Welcome back, dear viewers. You're with us with the program Open Talk, and here we're with Sister Fatima Trudy from Germany. Thank you so much for being with us. So in regards to the issue of speech etiquettes and you know, the manners that have been pointed out in Islam, I guess one of the most important manners is the guidelines that we have in regards to when one should be silent and when he should speak, and when is it the time for you to express, and when is it for you to hold something within. So if you could please expand on that a little bit, that would be great.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We have a hadith from our Holy Prophet, may Allah bless him and his noble family.
Yes.
He is saying that a woman is liked because of her manners.
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman who is known for gossip, she's not liked by women or men.
Yes.
And we should have different behavior to men, because our attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are feminine.
Yes.
And we should use the feminine attributes,
mm-hmm.
and only use the masculine one when we have to, like Hazrat Zainab, when she had to go to Damascus and
yes.
gave a speech, and it was not something she would have done if she wasn't forced to do it, and it was so necessary for her to do. Now, we have a story also of Isa, alayhi salam, since it was just Christmas for the Christian people. When Isa, one day, he was walking, and one man, he was standing on the side, and another one came from another side, looking at Jesus, Isa, alayhi salam. He abused him, and he said mm-hmm. something very nasty to Isa, alayhi salam. So he was just smiling at the man, and he didn't say anything. So the man, he said, what did he say to you? And you didn't get angry with him? You didn't, how dare he says that to you? He said, well, the man didn't have manners, but I do.
Yes.
But if I use mine, the man might change.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had used violence or been abusive like him, what would have been the difference between the
him
two?
And
see,
the prophet.
This
yes.
is the difference. And also, when we speak, it should reflect on our personality.
Yes.
You know, our personality and our manner are important, because they represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
He wants us to act in a certain way mm-hmm. to adopt his attributes.
Yes.
You know, this is, you know.
Thank you very much. Before we have a quick summary of today's programs, we're going to go to Brother Abbas. He'll mention a story, inshallah, and then we'll
yes.
have a summary, inshallah.
Thank you very much. Here I have a story about backbiting, talking behind other people. One day an acquaintance met the great scholar and said, do you know what I just heard about your friend? The scholar said, hold on a minute. Before telling me about my friend, you should pass a triple test. Mm-hmm. The first one is that before telling something about him, you should be sure should be sure about that. And the second one is you should say something to be right.
Yes.
To be right. And the third one was you should say something to be useful. Mm-hmm. That man said, no, it's not right and I'm not sure about it and not useful. Mm-hmm. So the scholar said, please don't tell me anything about my friend.
Yes. Thank you very much. Wonderful story. So inshallah, little by little, we're going to get down to the summary of what was mentioned today. And if you could just mention a story or a personal experience if you had, because the other one that we heard was very interesting. If there are any other stories like that that you would like to point out, that would be great. And if you could just summarize what we had to say or what you had to say today, inshallah.
Well, of course, the importance of manners, to talk about manners is very interesting because it has been emphasized by our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much that he said, a child is not an orphan because it doesn't have mother and father. Mm-hmm. It's an orphan because it has no manners.
Yes.
So from childhood, if a child is not taught by the parents, or doesn't see good manners at home, naturally it will not have. And we from home, of course, my parents, I'm from a wine business, actually. We had a wine factory. I was brought up, not according to Islam, but we were brought up to have good manners. And one thing, to have, never to lie. Mm-hmm. Lie was something so condemned in my family that I continued this even when I brought up my children.
Yes.
And like to say something, how important a good word is.
Yes.
It is so much, it's so good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that a good word has a tree in heaven.
Yes.
And the branches are fed by, you know, you will grow a beautiful tree if you say a beautiful word. Sometimes one nice word, one thing, it is, it shows friendliness. Mm-hmm. Because without friendliness, you cannot succeed in the society.
Yes.
There are two kinds of people. One is friendly, one is unfriendly. And if we are not friendly, that means we are not happy with our what Allah has given us.
Yes.
So we should be good. And to finish, for me to finish off about would be nice with our Holy Prophet. One day he was passing two women.
Yes.
And he heard them talking, gossiping, talking about other women. And so and it was Ramadan. Mm-hmm. So our Holy Prophet went, he came back and gave both of them a date. And they said, what, Prophet, you know we are fasting, it is Ramadan. He said, it is Ramadan, but you're forbidding yourself something which is eating and allowing yourself something which is forbidden.
Yes.
Which is talking bad about other people.
Yes. See? Meaning that, if I'm not mistaken, that their fast was invalidated.
Yeah.
Because they were, actually what they were doing was in some ways defeating the purpose of fasting in the first place, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. It might not make your fast invalid.
Yes.
But it certainly does not put value on your fast. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a low level. And they probably did not even eat the dates,
yes.
Real, but it just, our Holy Prophet wanted them to realize how bad it was what they were doing, while it's better to eat than talk bad.
Yes.
You know? So
if I'm not mistaken, then the Islamic ruling on this, in terms of the jurisprudential ruling, is that, you know, backbiting does not invalidate your fast. But the Prophet, what the Prophet was doing was he was showing them, in a very simple manner, how what they were doing was actually defeating the purpose of their fasting, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to have you in the program. These experiences, personally, when I hear these experiences, they're very inspiring for me. As a Muslim and as a person who is going to, you know, live, you know, in other societies, and I'm going to have to deal with other individuals, and to have your experiences is a wonderful thing. Thank you so much for being with us in this program.
Thank you.
Dear viewers, inshallah, we will continue with this series of programs in the next program. But before we say goodbye, we're going to go to Brother Abbas, and we'll take it on from there.
Thank you very much. Just let me finish by this nice saying from a nice hadith from Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha. Man is a wonderful creature. He sees through the layers of fat, mean eyes, hears through a bone ears, and speaks through a lump of flesh tongue. So you should know how to control your tongue. We'll be with you next time. Goodbye.